President Trump puts this all down to leaks and witch hunts. It's a venerable history there, this tension between the White House and the leaker community. We've heard everything from reports of the president watching television alone in his bathrobe, agitated phone conversations with world leaders, all the way to the existence of a memo written by fired FBI Director James Comey describing the president's request that FBI Director Comey let the Russian investigation go. Paul Rosenzweig, attorney, Homeland Security consultant, formerly a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy in the Department of Homeland Security, and co-editor of Whistleblowers, Leaks, and the Media, the First Amendment and National Security. Mr. Rosenzweig says there is a taxonomy, a food chain, if you will, of leaks and leakers.
Well, the basic taxonomy is divided between those who stay within the confines of legally authorized means of disclosures. Those are whistleblowers. And those who go outside of those bounds and leak. And within the leak community, there are kind of two subsets. There's leaks to the media, which, though they're outside the bounds of lawful disclosure from the government's perspective, have a sense of justice and righteousness to them, at least in terms of the people who make the leaks themselves. And then the last category is leaks to adversaries and foreign powers. Those people we call spies.
Right, exactly.
And we think that they're treasonous.
Does the president have a good understanding of what leaks are sort of part of the functioning of government and what leaks are nefarious and should be gone after, and what leaks are actually criminal?
Our president?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think it would be actually fair to say that all presidents seem to characterize leaks that disadvantage them as nefarious and leaks that advance their interests as for the good of the country. You know, President Obama, for example, his administration brought more leak prosecutions against people that others would characterize as whistleblowers than all the other administrations combined before it, going back to George Washington's time. So even though we have a sense of President Obama as a liberal, small L or big L president, his administration had a curiously anti-free press leak patina to it. President Trump likewise seems to think that leaks from inside his White House that disadvantage him are ones that ought to be prosecuted, and has been quoted as urging the FBI director to go after the press in prosecuting such leaks. So I tend to think that presidential characterizations of leaks are politicized by where they sit a fair amount.
We've had the referencing in the current administration's anxiety over leaking of actual jailing reporters, going after reporters and jailing them for one reason or another. You then also mentioned, and I should point this out, the Obama administration went after leakers more than anyone else in the history of the United States. Would you say that a chilling effect on journalists who fear imprisonment or various kinds of trouble has actually been effectively put upon the press, given the behavior of the Obama administration and now the, shall we say, real anxiety of the Trump administration?
Well, I certainly couldn't speak for every member of the press, but certainly there have been anecdotal reports of pressmen who've left difficult beats like the national security beat to go cover easy things like urban health or something like that. The truth of the matter is, first, you know, we've never put a pressman in jail for receiving classified information, for being the recipient of a leak. The only time press people have gone to jail has been for protecting their sources. That is, honoring promises of confidentiality that don't have a strong moral force, but aren't fully supported in the law. There has seemed to be an uptick of that latter case lately. And what I counsel journalists who ask me is, you know what you're going to decide in the end before you make the promise. There probably was an era of easy confidentiality, and now it means a lot more. So I think that the bottom line answer is that President Trump's threat to jail press for reporting leaks would be extremely novel, and probably we shouldn't take too much concern of it unless and until he actually implements it. And I suspect there'd be a lot of institutional barriers to implementation not the least of which is that the courts would probably throw out such indictments on First Amendment grounds.
Finally, for the American people who might be weary of all this discussion of leaking and people attempting to bring down the government and people going after the president because they believe the election is illegitimate, illegal in some way, for policy reasons, to protect themselves, all the possible reasons for leaking. What would you advise the American people trying to make sense of all this regarding leaking?
Well, I mean, all of those are true. Every last one of those is a possible method or means or motive for leaking. But there's also the leaks that are intended to disclose misconduct and malfeasance by our government. The classic case of the Pentagon Papers leaps immediately to mind. I would say that it is incumbent upon every citizen who's a consumer of leaks, whether through the press or through their tweet stream, to look at them with a not a critical eye, but with an eye of assessment. What are the motives of the alleged source, and how does that square with the veracity of what he's saying? Is there corroboration elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We make judgments like that about the truth telling of our friends and family and business acquaintances every day, and leakers are no different. There some lie, some are telling us the horrific truth, and it's up to us to figure it out.
Common sense is a good guide here. That's good advice. Paul Rosenzweig is an attorney, Homeland Security and consultant, and formerly a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy in the Department of Homeland Security. Paul, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.